Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're boarding passengers seated in zones E and F at this time. Your zone number.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Crew Travel right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back Lee Harris from ADP Travel. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Ria. Yep. Sunshining. We've had decent weather at last here in the UK. It's been, since I've been back, it's been pretty atrocious, to be fair. So, no, it's good. Yep. Good week. Weather's lovely. I get to talk to you first thing on a Monday. So what could be better?
If you're comparing the British weather to the weather in New Zealand, it is pretty dastardly.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's a good summer day here is like a bad winter's day in New Zealand. So it's just something I've got to get used to.
Oh, I don't envy you. I don't envy you. Right. This week has been quite interesting, actually. The CrowdStrike, which is, I don't think anything that anybody had ever really heard about, unless you were in cybersecurity or working cybersecurity for a company. But all of a sudden, it was massive across the entire face of the planet as of Friday. And it created havoc with everything, banking, regular stores, et cetera. But it also hit the travel industry. What's going on there?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So after a recent outage of the IT systems worldwide, the airlines based in the United States are nearly back on track to resume normal services, from issues with checking in passengers to tracking inbound and outbound luggage airports, and even delays with processing passengers at border control. The aviation industry in several areas was significantly affected at the weekend. Now, according to CBS News, the flight tracking platform FlightAware registered over 33,000 delayed flights and over 2,700 cancelled flights on Saturday. However, the impact was most severe on Friday when over 6,800 flights were cancelled, and that accounts for 6.7% of the globally scheduled services. Now, the US was particularly hit hard, with Delta Airlines, along with its regional partners, having over 25% of its scheduled East Coast operations cancelled. The airline faced delays in over 40% of its mainline operations, with another 25% of services cancelled. Things were mostly better for competitors, with United Airlines having 15% of its services cancelled, while American Airlines only 7.5%. Now, although systems are back up and running and services nearly back to normal, passengers should still expect some delays over the coming days. That's whilst aircraft are moved to correct airports and crew are repositioned. Now, if anyone is traveling over the next few days, please make sure to check in with your airline to ensure your flight is operating at its originally scheduled time.
It's interesting because their share prices dropped 11% after this incident. And the CEO of the company stated that it was just a small update. You know how if you've got a Microsoft machine, we get our tiny little Microsoft updates and every now and then you end up with a blue screen at death. It was kind of the same idea. And it started raising a lot of questions throughout the world with different analysts about how we're allowing these companies to become almost a monopoly and taking over, literally gobbling, and we're seeing it in the yachting industry as well, but literally gobbling up all of these tiny little companies or even medium-sized companies to the point where we have this one company that did something they shouldn't have done or wasn't done the way it should have been done. And it literally affected half of the world. That's an issue. And I think that's what people are starting to realize now, that, you know, there's got to be some point in which a company can no longer buy up everything. There's got to be a stopping point. Otherwise, there's no competition. It doesn't, you know, we no longer live in a democracy. It is literally governed by one company, and that just doesn't work.
No, it clearly doesn't work, does it? It goes to show Friday. We were affected in our business as well. People couldn't get into the system so they can book travel for clients, etc. You're right. You can never have just one player in any market. It doesn't work. One, it doesn't work for consumers because the prices just go through the roof. And as we saw on Friday, it doesn't work because if something happens to that one supplier or provider of whatever, you know, everything just grinds to a halt. So yeah, no, it doesn't work. And surely there must be some kind of regulation that's going to be put in place to stop that happening. We would think so, but then probably not.
I think they're really seriously, governments never actually do anything until it affects them personally, right? And I think we see that this probably affected every government on the face of the planet in some form or another, whether it be personally, vacations, or even, you know, some government agencies utilized CrowdStrike. So they were affected as well. So that's usually when we see, you know, some sort of legislation put into place, yeah, is when it affects the government, not when it affects the people. But exactly, we'll see what happens. We'll see what, yes, happens. Right. And European entry exit system. What's going on there?
Yeah, the introduction of the new European Union border controls has reportedly been delayed yet again. That's following fears of delays during the October school half-term holidays. The Times newspaper has reported that the new entry exit system, or EES as it's known, was due to start on October the 6th, but has now been pushed back to at least November the 10th. That's after lobbying from French officials. Now, under the EES, all passengers without EU passports will be required to have their fingerprints registered and their pictures taken on arrival. The new system will add 2 to 3 minutes processing time per passenger, up from the present 45 seconds. It has prompted fears about passenger backlogs at airport arrival halls, the Port of Dover and Eurostar trains from St Pancras International in London. The Times report said there will also be an emergency option to delay the start until November 17th at the 11th hour if member states raise concerns. This will also be followed by a grace period in which border staff can open a relief valve, meaning passengers at crowded checkpoints could be spared biometric registration.
When did I remember talking about this? But it's been a while. When did they first start talking about rolling this out? When was the first expected rollout date?
It's crazy. It's gone on. I think it's probably over a year that it was due to come live, but it's just been pushed back. This is now about, because we've talked about every pushback we've talked about on the show, and this is probably about the sixth time we've spoken about it. So it just goes to show the issues that they're facing. And when they say from 45 seconds to 2 to 3 minutes, people go, well, that's not that much. But you think about how many people they've got to process who are coming in on flights and going from 45 seconds to 2 to 3 minutes per passenger. That's going to create absolute havoc. And I would also just warn, obviously, British passengers as well, you don't fall under the EU anymore, so you will also be stuck with the 2 to 3 minute wait time.
They're going to be up in arms about that.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Brexit. They have a right, you know. I'm going to get in so much trouble. I'm going to hate me. How dare you? Right. And as I'm sure that the crowd strike problem showed us on Friday, all these people that happen to find themselves in an airport, a flight has been canceled, or there's issues, and they've got to get a hold of their airline. There is now a scam that people are being warned about that they need to look out for. What is that?
Yeah, there is. Travel obviously can be stressful, especially when a problem arises with a flight booking or the issue that we saw on Friday. But the frantic reaction of passengers attempting to rectify an issue is precisely what some scammers have been preying on. Now, several passengers have recently Googled airline contact details, then called a number that appeared as the top result, only to discover too late that they had contacted a scammer. This is possible because scammers are exploiting the process whereby Google verifies businesses and ranks top results. Now, it was reported last week that a family got to the airport and at check-in realized they forgot to finalize their visa for entering the United States. They were told they must get an ESTA and then call the airline or their agent to rebook. Now, the phone number that was found on Google for the airline support team was, in fact, a scam service that was pretending to be the airline. The scam was clever enough to take advantage of their stressful situation and glean key booking details from them and then let them know that they would have to issue new tickets to get the remainder of their booking corrected. They took the credit card payment, but the family obviously never got new tickets. Now, this is just one story of many where, in a blind panic, travelers are calling the first number which appears in the search system. So my advice to anyone traveling to stop the scam from happening is to always carry any pertinent telephone numbers with you, whether that be airline, your travel company you've booked through, hotels or car hire company. This document of numbers can then be kept with your passports and your tickets in a safe place, ready for use if needed.
Or just book through a travel agent and know your travel agent's number and they can take care of all of that for you. But
indeed,
you know, here it comes. It's sort of the same concept, isn't it? Google is the number one search engine in the world, and that's where everybody refers. And if Google isn't doing their job, then the end consumer is the one that ends up paying the price. That's an issue.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's funny because I was looking on Google yesterday for something, and that whole first page was just paid ads on there, not the top search results or anything. It was just a paid ad. And if you don't look closely enough, or, you know, like we say, in a blind panic, it's easy to click on that first one and think you're getting what you've Googled for. So yeah, they do. There does need to be some kind of process in place where they are actually verifying what's being put on there. How they do that, I don't know. That's obviously for bigger people than me, but it can't be like the Wild West on the first page of Google, just who pays the most or whatever can have an ad on there.
Yeah, I think if these companies are held responsible for what damages that they create for the public, it will keep them a lot more honest. But I think, unfortunately, yep, money talks. And a lot of these companies are so big and are worth so much money that they won't. They really do. When you talk about law and order and you talk about the legal system, it really only works anymore if you have enough money to make it work for you. And that's essentially what we're seeing on the scale of what we see today. So we'll see, I guess. And British Airways.
Yeah, British Airways have revealed that they will halve the frequency of flights between London and Hong Kong this fall. That's as the cost of operating the route has soared due to Russian airspace restrictions. Now, the carrier currently operates a double daily service to the former British colony, but will cut this to a daily flight from October. Now, British Airways said its decision to halve the number of flights to Hong Kong was down to rising costs as a consequence of the closure of Russian airspace. Because it can no longer fly its aircraft over Russia, it has been forced to take a lengthier and less economical routing, driving up fuel and staffing costs. The airline says it will keep the decision under review, so it's possible it may reinstate flights by next summer. However, in the meantime, for anyone wanting to travel to Hong Kong, I would look to book early to avoid disappointment and obviously expensive airfares. I've completely lost a word. Due to the frequency, the expensive airfares, due to the frequency being halved. You can tell us Monday morning.
And I'm not even going to edit that out.
No, don't. You know,
it gives me a little bit of satisfaction to see you lost for words for a change. But British Airways is not the only choice. There's other companies that fly direct.
Obviously, you've got other airlines that fly direct from London as well. So yeah, just make sure you do your due diligence, find the best price for yourself or the best route in all times, whatever's more important.
Now go ahead and Google it, but don't book it through Google.
Or better still, call me.
Yes.
Problem solved.
Exactly. Right. Lee, I got to say, we don't have any crew questions this week. And you were supposed to do some research for me, weren't you?
Yes, miss.
I forgot what it was, too. So,
good. That's right.
Yeah, we're all good. Right. Good. I'll have to look because I put it on the YouTube description. But if anybody out there has crew questions, please do feel free to email Lee. We'll provide all of his information below this interview when it airs. And of course, if you want to book some flights, need them quick or need them with or without the strike issue, Lee is your man. Lee, thank you once again. It's been really appreciated.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
I know. Everyone says that.
I'm sure they do.
Right. You've been watching another edition of Crew Travel right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next week.